Okay, and let us learn. Okay, so we are on Mishnah Yud Beis. Okay, Perek or VE, Mishnah Yud Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer. For some reason, I've had his name like stuck in my head since preparing this. Like, I wake up in the morning thinking Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. I don't know why. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua says, Yehi chavod tamidcha chaviva lecha kishalach. The honor of your student should be as dear to you as your own. Ukivod chavercha kamor rabcha, and the honor of your friend like the fear of your rebbe. Umor rabcha kamor shemayim. And the fear of your Rebbe, like the fear of heaven. Okay, so this is one of the more famous ones, I would say. So to speak, it might like at least ring a bell. Maybe it doesn't. That's fine too. Okay, so that's the first one. Let's read the second one, and we're going to go back to the first one and kind of focus on that. Shif, you ready? Okay, give me a second, guys. Okay, we are back. Sorry about that. Second one, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Hevi zahir b'talmud. You should be careful in learning. Sheshigigas talmud. Ola Zadon, because the mistake in learning brings about intentional sin. That's the second one. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Kesarim Haim, another relatively famous one. There are three crowns, Keser Torah, the Keser Kehuna, the Keser Malchus, okay? The Keser Shem Tov Ola Al-Gabehem. And this fourth black horse crown comes in, and the Keser Shem Tov, the crown of a good name, stands on their backs. Okay? Or is really, again, that's kind of a literal translation. Really, you would say that it's like, it excels all of them, right? It's more, it's better than them. It's greater than them. Okay, good. So let's go back to the first one. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua Omer, Yehi kavod tamidcha chaviva lecha kishalach. The honor of your student should be as dear to you as your own honor. Ukivod chavercha kemora rabcha. The honor of your friend should be like the fear of your teacher. Umora rabcha kemora shemaim. And the fear of your teacher should be like the fear of heaven. So if you had to wager, from what we know right now, what's the point? Like, what's the subject of this Mishnah? What's it talking about? What's the subject?
Kavod.
Kavod. Good. Right. So that's what you feel like. You feel like the subject is kavod in some way, right? Like how you treat other people. That kavod. Good. So let's read Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah right away is going to contradict what we first think. He says, "Ratza lomar." This Mishnah is saying, "Mikol echad kifi lefi kavodo hayadua sheroi laasos lechavera ulatamid." This Mishnah is telling you that you need to treat people according to the honor that is due to them. Whether it's a colleague or whether it's a Talmud. Aval Inu Omer, this Mishnah is not saying, Sheyechabi l'talmido kimo l'chaveiro, that you should honor your students like you honor your friends. Kieno, because that's basically ridiculous. That's what he says. Because it can't be. That's what he's saying. But in the same way that you can't take away from your friend what he deserves, you also can't take away from the honor that is due to your student. So the first question is, which part of this Mishnah is Rabbeinu Yonah being makbid on? He's saying, you thought this part of the Mishnah meant X, and actually it meant Y. Again, just a little bit of, like, whatever, just skill development is, like, a bad word for it, right, in learning. But what is it? What is he being makbid on? Let me read you the Mishnah again. Yehi kavod tamidcha chaviva lecha kishalach, ukivod chavercha kimora rabcha, umora rabcha kimora shemayim. Which part of this Mishnah is he saying, it doesn't mean this, it means that?
The teacher part.
Good, so he hasn't actually talked about the teacher part, but he's going to say the same thing. Say it again, Javi.
The way I understood it, but I probably heard it wrong, is that he's putting it on the teacher instead of on technically the student.
Which part is he putting on the teacher instead of the student?
The way that you're, like, when it's talking about kavod, it's like, don't, you're thinking like, okay, like, my teacher, I'm supposed to feel this, but.
Interesting. Good. So I think that you're only hearing that because really this is only his parish on the first part. It's only his parish on the Talmidcha and Chavercha. He hasn't gotten to his parish of Rabcha and Shemayim, but his moral is the same. So let me skip a part that we're going to go into and read the end of it. Okay. He says the same moral of the story. Ready? Hizkir kavod b'talmud u'b'chaver. It says kavod with a talmud and with a colleague. Ki inenu chayav b'moram, because you don't have to fear them. Right? So again, this Mishnah, which I never really noticed when I was reading it, you know, whenever I went through Pirkei Avos, like, kind of like that, but it switches. It goes from kavod to mora. It goes from kavod to fear, two kind of different sentiments. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, like, yes, that is part of what we learn here, is that kavod is something that's due to subordinates and peers, and mora, which we're going to read a little bit how he defines mora is due to superiors and authority figures, right? So it says, you're not chayav to fear or whatever the word means, you're them as if they're superiors. Nimtzeis lameid. What do we come out learning from this Mishnah? What is this Mishnah teaching us at the end of the day? Ki kavod talmidcha tzarich liyos be'inecha. The honor of your student has to be in your eyes. Sorry, one second. I lost my place. Be'inecha chaviv kemura shamayim. Hamachuyav alecha. The honor of your student has to be, you have to take it as seriously as Mora Shamayim, which you know is a chiyuv. Ve'in lecha levatel as zeh kemo lezeh. You can't, in the same way that you're not going to like be mevatel kavod Shamayim, or Mora Shamayim, you're not going to be mevatel, you should not be mevatel kavod of your students. L'kulam tala zeh al zeh. I'm not sure what he means by this. I would love to hear your thoughts. They're all dependent on each other. Ve'im kein arba'im arba'atem b'madrega achas heim. And therefore, they're all one level. They're all the same theme. So what's Rabbeinu Yonah saying? Again, let's go back to the first thing, and then we're going to talk about what the moral. Which part of this Mishnah is he being mocked on? Again, he's being mocked on, I'll give you a hint, it's less than a word. Yihikavot hamilcha chaviv alecha kishalach, ukavot chavercha kemor rabcha, umor rabcha kemor shamayim. Anyone have any ideas? I'll give you another hint. It's a letter. But it's repeated. And it's a word correlated to a letter in English. It's an English word that correlates to a letter in Hebrew. Come on, what is it? It's enough hints.
Ke,
right? Like. So what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that you might think that when we say ke, we actually mean there's an equal sign. And just so you know, the ke does not mean an equal sign. We're not actually telling you to treat your student like you treat your Lord above. Why not? He doesn't really say why not, but in parentheses, why not?
Because it's not the same.
Good, because it's not the same, right? The word for that in English is like moral equality, right? Which is like, ugh, it's all the same. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, like, no, this Mishnah is not teaching us moral equality. It's not teaching us the extent to which you are mechabed your student should be the same extent to which you are mechabed Shemayim, right? And that is our initial reaction of what we think the Mishnah is telling us. It's talking about an amount. The amount that you try to be mechabed your student should be the amount to which you are mechabed Shemayim. And Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that is not how to read the Mishnah. No, those kids do not mean in this to the same degree or to the same extent. It means from the same moral place, right? The same moral character trait that allows you to be mechaved shemayim is the same moral character trait that should make you mechaved your student. Basically, right, the moral of this Mishnah is not about kavod, it's about your midah. It's about a specific midah in you, which is recognizing your obligation to give people what they deserve. In terms of honor and status and whatever from you, right? Like it's not just generally give people what they deserve, like give them a hug, give them like a coin, you know. But that's the moral. So let's read again his parish, his original parish. Kol echa lefi kavodo hayadua sheru'i la'asos lechaver letamid. You should give people, you should recognize your obligation to treat people like they deserve to be treated by you, based on your status and their status and your relationship with them. It's like it's an interesting moral, right? It's an interesting character trait that you're trying to develop that mida to treat people what they deserve to you based on your relationship with them. But that's what it is. You shouldn't honor them both equally. Kieno, because they're not equal. Right? That's not what we're saying. It's not moral relativism here. They're not equal. You can't take away from what he deserves. Just because he's your subordinate and not your peer, you still can't take away from what he deserves. From you. the treatment that he deserves from you. Okay. So fine. So that's, again, that's his moral here. We're going to go into Rav Hirsch next, and you're going to tell me if Rav Hirsch agrees or disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. I just want to show you how Rabbeinu Yonah defines Mora Shemayim. He does this also. The first time he did it was in the, early on in Perek. In the first parak, I believe it's the first parak. It might have been early on in the second parak. I think it was early on in the first parak. And it just like blew my mind how he talks about Yirah Shemayim, okay? So here he's going to define what is Mora Rabcha, ready? He's gear bakan Mora L'Rav V'La Shemayim. It talks about here the fear or whatever, Mora, whatever that emotion is, that you should have towards your Rebbe and towards Hashem. Shetzarech Hashem Elokav, okay? Oh, sorry, whoops, skipped a line. Shetzarech Lira Osam. You have to, this emotion that we usually translate as fear, you have to blink them, to fear them, okay? But listen to how he describes it and tell me if that sounds like fear. We would never use the word fear to describe that, okay? Kimora as harav. What is it, the fear that you have, or the mora that you have towards your rav? Yisod mora as shemayim hi. The root of the sentiment you have towards your Rebbe should be the same root of the sentiment that you have towards Hashem. And he's about to describe what that is. Al-ki. Why do you have this mora for your Rav? Al-ki. Limdo Torah. Because your Rav taught you Torah. Umischavin lira as... I keep losing my place, sorry. Umischavin lira as Hashem Elokav. And he intends... Right, he's mischavein, not that he always does, but that he's mischavein, he intends to fear Hashem. V'ohev ha-Torah, he loves the Torah. V'ohev es ha-chachamim, and he loves wisdom and wise people. V'yarei es dvar Hashem, and he takes seriously and he fears the dvar Hashem. U'milamed oso, and he teaches you, the Talmud, yirah shemayim, to fear Hashem. V'leleches b'derech tova, and to go in a good path. Al kein amar mora rabcha. So like, is that fear? It's not fear. It's not, right? Shiri, you're like, I love that facial expression. You're like, not even a little bit, right? It's not a fear sentiment at all. I don't know. We don't have a word for it. Like reverence and awe are things that we use, right? But Yiras Shemayim and Yiras Rabcha, that's the root of it, is a very personal feeling, right? You love them for their, who they are and their character. And you love their the influence and the impact that they have on you to make you a better, more moral person. And that's what you love. That's Yira. That's the basis of your relationship. It's like an incredible thing that has like nothing to do with fear. Anyway, so I just like wanted to read that out because like we gotta learn from like Rabbeinu Yonah's, and people always quote Shari Tshuva, you know, with like Yira Shemayim. I don't know. I never really learned Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah. But like if you look at how he talks about Yira Shemayim, like it has nothing to do with the way that some people talk about Yira Shemayim. Okay. Anyway, so thoughts on that. Are welcome. I would love to continue further, but let's go into Rav Hirsch, okay? Rav Hirsch is going to talk about this Mishnah, and he's going to kind of start tying them all together for us, okay? Rav Elazar ben Shmuel Omer, and we know that already. Yikavod tamecha chaviv alecha kushalach, uchavod chaverecha kamo rabcha, mo rabcha kamo shemayim. I'm going to read Rav Hirsch. You tell me if he agrees or disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. You know, I just started playing things on 1.5 speed, which is like really fun. To like get through, or 1.2 even, you know what I mean? Just like a little bit faster. I'm like taking one of my coaching, the person who's doing my coaching course right now, like the module is like so irritating. So I'm listening to her at like 1.75 speed and I'm feeling like very vindictive about it. And like part of me, it feels like very like geschmack that I don't think people could play me at 1.5 speed. You just like would not be able to tell what I'm saying, right? I don't think that I would be able to listen, like understand myself at 1.5 speed. I do you a favor. I speak at 1.25 or 1.5 anyways. Maybe that's not true. Maybe I should try to play my recording at 1.5 speed. Okay. Sorry, I just had to say that here as I was like, that was too fast. You should slow down, Chana. In my head, that's what I said to myself. Okay. Ready? Now I have an excuse to never do that, to never actually slow down. Okay. Listen to Rav Hirsch and tell me if he agrees or disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. The subject of discussion here is not the extent to which the honor of one's students should be protected, nor the degree or reverence due to a teacher or to God himself. What is brought out here is simply the fact that honor is due even to our pupils and disciples, and that we are duty-bound to protect it, and that we are not to violate the reverence due our teachers and our God. When teaching our students and in our dealings with them, we must never allow ourselves in our zeal to teach and to discipline to degrade or injure the dignity of a disciple. When associating with our equals on a more familiar footing, we must not let intimacy lead us to forget for one moment the deference with which we must treat their honor. Finally, any violation on our part of the reverence we owe to our teacher should weigh upon our conscience as heavily as would any act of irreverence against God himself. So does Rehersh agree or disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah?
Disagree.
How so? Does he disagree?
He's taking how we thought it originally was, which is talking about that everyone deserves to have the respect or have the fear, have the reverence. And he didn't sound like he's mentioning any kind of like moral character within you, kind of like a reminder of that everyone deserves whatever kavod they're supposed to get.
Good. Okay, I like your parish. Agree or disagree with Chavi?
I agree. I just think also that he doesn't separate everybody. Like, he does speak about everybody individually, but I feel like it was kind of rephrasing. Uh-huh. I mean, I would say Rehersh is rephrasing, but I just feel like he's repeating the idea that everybody deserves respect versus Rabbeinu Yonah, who is explaining, like, the kid and then not everybody's equal, but Rehersh is saying they all deserve respect, so it's, yeah.
Good. Okay, good. So there are some parts of this that sound similar and maybe some parts of it that sound kind of different, right? Or maybe some parts don't sound similar and they all sound different, right? Rehersh definitely does take it apart in terms of like, no, Davka, this doesn't mean what we think it means. Chavi thinks it does, that Rehersh is going back to the original. Shira agrees. I'm going to disagree with Chavi. Did anyone see it the way that I did? I'm not sure I'm right. Chavi might be right. Did anyone feel when we read Rehersh that he was agreeing with Rabbeinu Yonah? I think Rehersh is agreeing with Rabbeinu Yonah.
I agree with you, man. He's agreeing.
Good. Tell me why you're thinking that, Rachel.
I mean, there's... he's not... It's kind of like you have to respect everybody. It's not... It's not really making any other... He's not making any other... Like, any other point, I should say. He's not really adding much. It's pretty much the same.
Good. Okay, good. So that's... I thought the same as Rachel. Let's read it again and we'll hawk it out. I thought the same as Rachel when I read it. I thought, okay, this is basically the same point as Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm going to pull out something that he does do differently that I think also broadens kind of my perspective of what the Mishnah is talking about and leads into the next two parts of this Mishnah, so to speak. Okay, so again, here's Rehersh's introduction. The subject of discussion here is not the extent to which the honor of one student should be protected, nor the degree of reverence due to a teacher or to God himself. So I think, again, it's very hard for you to, like, answer that question just having remembered what I said without, like, seeing it inside here. But I think Rehersh here, again, is he's doing a little bit of a similar thing to Rabbeinu Yonah. He's saying, don't be misled by what you might have, like, snap decision thought this Mishnah was talking about. It's not talking about the degree to which reverence is due to any of these people. Right? It's not the extent to which the honor is due. It's not the degree of reverence due. That's not what we're doing. We're not drawing a parallel of the amount that you honor your student, like in the end of the day after this equation, is the same amount that you honor Hashem. Like, that's not what we're doing here. What is brought out here is simply, and it's interesting because it is more simple a little bit, this thing, right? Simply the fact that honor is due. And then he goes on to say to who, right? The point of this is simply that you have an obligation towards treating other people in the way that they deserve to be treated by you. The honor is due even to our pupils and our disciples, and that we are duty-bound to protect it, right? It's not that, maybe you would say it this way, I think what Rabbeinu Yonah and Rehersh are saying is that the point of this Mishnah is not the kid, does not mean the extent to which we honor or fear them is equal, but it's rather the seriousness by which we take how we treat them is equal. The seriousness with which we have to feel obligated towards treating our students in the way they deserve to be treated is the same seriousness with which we have to treat Hashem. Right? The seriousness of our obligation to treat people in the way they deserve, that's the point here. Because otherwise it is like a little ludicrous. You can't say that I'm supposed to treat my students like I treat my Rebbe. Right? Like, I'm on here with you guys. I love you guys. I asked my Rebbe if I could, like, speak to him later tonight. If I felt the same towards you and towards him when I was talking to him, it would be like, I'd be like a little weird, right? Like, there would be something weird about me. And it would be like a weird conversation I'd have with you. It'd be a weird conversation I'd have with him. Like, the whole thing would be weird and wonky. Like, that, of course that can't be, right? But it has to be that the seriousness with which I take how I treat you is the same seriousness with which I take how I treat him. And that's, and all of that is as serious as I should take my avodas Hashem generally. So I think that's the point of Rabbeinu Yonah. I mean, and Rav Hirsch, okay? Here's the part that kind of like clicked something for me in my head that I didn't have before I read Rav Hirsch. When teaching, and this is where I'm like, ah, this is how it connects to the theme of the perek. Let me know if you find this compelling or not. When teaching our students and in our dealings with them, we must never allow ourselves, in our zeal to teach and discipline, to degrade or injure the dignity of a disciple. When teaching students, no matter how much you care about what it is that you're teaching, you can never have that be more important to you than the students that you're teaching. You ever hear this great quote that they have like on mugs and whatever? They're like, there are two kinds of students. I mean, sorry. There are two kinds of teachers. Those who teach subjects and those who teach students. Right? So the Torah is telling you, you always have to be, in whatever way that you're a teacher, you have to be the kind of teacher who teaches students. And not the kind of teacher who teaches subjects, even when the subject is Torah. And doesn't this remind us of the rest of the parak now? Right? Because what is this parak talking about? It keeps doing this. And we're going to see the next two Mishnayos do this too. This parak keeps talking about, like, first it's attitude towards Torah, attitude towards Torah, attitude towards Torah. And then it just started in the previous Mishnah talking about this, like, stuff outside of Torah that is just, that we have to take just as seriously if we're going to take Torah seriously. And that's what Rav Hirsch is saying here, right? Is that even if the reason you're mistreating the students is because of how seriously you're taking the Torah, you're off. You're off. Because your duty to Hashem, your duty in Avodas Hashem is to treat your students, your friends, right, your subordinates, your peers, and your superiors all equally in seriousness of what they deserve from you. And that's your Avodas Hashem, right? That's what Hashem wants from you. You get to take that as seriously as any other piece of your Avodas Hashem. So here it is again. You're teaching Torah. I don't care. You can't just teach Torah and that justifies everything. There's something else on top of that. And again, let's find, and it's not on top of that because it's more than Torah. It is Torah. That's what Chazal is teaching us here. This is called Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? Like, this is the whole point of this parag, it seems to be, right? Last time we talked about, let me actually read you the actual quote, right? Kisris, that it's, okay, let me just not butcher this, right? There's mitzvah achas, ha'usa mitzvah achas, ha'usa veir achas, there's mitzvahs and veiros, and there's other thing called tshuva u'masim tovim. And the fact that masim tovim was brought in shows us that there's something outside of mitzvahs and veiros, which is your attitude towards mitzvahs and veiros. And that is just as important. Here it is again. Your attitude towards students and teachers, et cetera, et cetera. Your attitude towards other people is as important. It has to be on top of. It has to be something that engulfs your relationship with Torah. Right? Not outside, not lesser than, not more than. Torah has to be encapsulated in that. Okay? Let's read the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, have a zahir b'talmud, sheshigas talmud ola zadon. You have to be careful in your learning, in how you learn something, not like learning as a euphemism, learning actually, when you're learning how to do something, when you're learning what the Torah is telling you, because a mistake in learning is basically equal to an intentional sin. Okay? So what does Rav Hirsch say there? The neglect or improper or superficial study of our Torah in theory will give rise to error and sin in practice. Our sin may be due to error only, but if that error results from indifference to the knowledge of our duty and from intentional failure to seek better guidance by studying our Torah, then in view of the indifference and intentional neglect, error, though unintentional in itself, becomes a sin subject to punishment. Okay? So again, what is he saying there? I know it's really hard to like understand. I think, isn't it? Maybe it's not. When I read him sometimes, if I just, whatever, it's hard for me to understand. If someone read it, rehearsed to me, I'm not sure I would understand what he was saying without being able to read it myself and kind of think about it. So I'm sorry if that's hard. Give me feedback and we'll figure out a different way to do it. Right, but what rehearsed is saying there is that, again, it's not just sin. It's not whether or not you do the sin that's important. It's where the sin is coming from that's important. And if you make a mistake in sin and the mistake is coming from your superficiality in learning or your indifference in learning, then it's your fault. And then your mistake becomes something that itself is a mistake. Right? Well-meaning mistakes are totally fine. And like, of course, we know that Hashem understands that we do well-meaning mistakes. But there's other kinds of mistakes too. Called mistakes that come from me being superficial. Or mistakes that come from me being apathetic. And what Hashem looks at when I do a mistake is not whether or not I have done a mistake. But it's where that mistake came from. In me. That's what I'm judged on. Again, right? It's not just mitzvahs and aveiros. It's not just Torah. It's not just a mistake. It's a mistake and where the mistake is coming from. And the where it's coming from is the most important thing for Hashem. when he looks at my mistake. That's what he's looking at. Let's read the next part of the Mishnah. Again, ready? There's three Kesarim. Kesar Torah, Kesar Kahuna, and Kesar Malchus. The Kesar Shem Tov Ula Al Gabayim. What does it mean? Why doesn't the Mishnah say there are four Kesarim? Because it says there are three, and by the way, there's this other one. Why doesn't it say four? So Rav Avraham Bartanura talks about that, right? Or I think he's answering that question in his parish. Because he says, the three Kesarim, Kesar Torah, Kesar Kahuna, and Kesar Malchus, we know they're Kesarim, we know that they are these crowns, because the Torah tells us, and he quotes the Pesukim from the Torah, that tell us that these things are Kesarim, right? But there's something else also. And for Kesar Shemdom, he doesn't quote it. He doesn't quote, there's no Pesuk in the Torah that tells us that. It is the moral. It's the moral that we're supposed to be learning, especially from this parak. There's something outside of that. There's Torah, there's Kahuna, there's Malchus, and there's something that's more. There's something that they are dependent on. Listen to the Lashon of Rav Hirsch. Firstly, again, these are Mishnayos that we could never dream of saying had the Torah not said it, had Chazal not said it, has it not been Shor Torah Shabbat Peh. I never would, like, this would have been, right, this is the point of learning Torah Shabbat Peh. If I come up with something like this, it qualifies as apikorsis. If I say it, because I can't make stuff like this up. You can never listen to someone who would make something like this up. If Chazal says this, we have to learn what this is saying to us. Not apikorsis, because it's, right, like, I hope you guys understand what I mean by that. I don't mean that it's like, it's krum, but I could never say that there's a third keser that the Torah doesn't say that's just as important. I can never say that what Hashem looks at more than your sin is the intention behind your sin. It's a beautiful thought. I can't say that if I don't have backing. But Chazal say it to us. And Chazal keeps saying to us throughout this entire parak. That's what this parak is about, it seems to be. Keser Shem Tov does not have a source in the Torah, yet it is there. Listen to Rav Hirsch's Lashon. I can't even say it, right? A crown of a good name excels the other three. That's like the way, the euphemistic way, right? Like the symbolic way. Ola al gabayim, it stands on their shoulders. What does that mean? It means it excels them all. First, by virtue of the fact that it's within the reach of all. This is also interesting, right? Rav Hirsch says, not everyone's a Kohen, not everyone's a Melech, and even Rav Hirsch says, not everyone can access Torah. I wouldn't have said that either. That's what Rav Hirsch says, right? And someone else said that. I forgot who I read. Someone else said that too. Right? That in a way, Torah, whether or not you have access to Torah is a little bit contextual. In some capacity. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. He says Torah is accessible to all, explicitly in his parish, so he would not agree with Rav Hirsch, right? But a good name, a good reputation, that's definitely all hands down accessible to everybody in equal playing field. Any of these three crowns, listen to Rav Hirsch, any of these three crowns can be truly crowns only if he who wears them is deserving also of the crown of a good name. I missed something. Ah, here we go. Sorry, skipping lines today. Okay, is the fact that it is within the reach of all, without exception. And secondly, because all the other three are without value, unless they are linked with the crown of a good name. That's reversed. All the other three are without value, unless they are also linked with the crown of a good name. I mean, that, again, I would not have said it, but the reverse is not saying it either. Reverse is telling us that that's what Chazal is telling us. There's Kahuna, there's Machlas, there's Torah, and there's something else that they're dependent on, that they need to be effective, that they need to have value, that without it they are without value, and that's Keser Shem Tov, who you are. Who you are and your reputation about who you are is the most important thing for making your Torah, again, because none of us are accessing Kahuna and Machlas right now, right? But you, let's say just Torah, which is the only Keser that, let's say, any of us could wear, that is dependent on Keser Shem Tov. Okay, my baby's crying now, so give me a second.